Hello and welcome to the 645 pod. This is season 3 of the 645 pod, and we started looking at predestination last week. We're looking at difficult doctrines with this season. My name's Simon. I'm an MTS apprentice here at Christchurch. And
I'm Anton. I'm minister for 645 at Christchurch, and it's great to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It was touch and go for a little while, but I'm glad we're here.
All right, let's get into doctrine number 2, which is
the Trinity. Let's see how much we can get through in a short amount of time. It's a big topic.
We can do it. All right, let's get to it.
So we are looking at the Trinity, which is a huge topic. I feel like
the Trinity is huge.
Yeah, it is. It is huge, and I feel like it was a big topic when we were looking at it in doctrine last year at college. We spent quite a long time thinking about the Trinity and what it's not, what it is. It's a lot to think about.
It is. What are we talking about when we talk about the Trinity?
So we're talking about the fact that in the Bible we read that God is one. There is only one God that exists. There's not multiple gods. God is God and there is no other. It's the first part of that. But the second part of that is God is actually three. There's a triune, the Trinity. So within the single identity of God as God, he has three distinct persons that make up God, which is God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Correct. And both those aspects of the Trinity are controversial today. So the fact that there is only one God is by no means anything to be taken for granted. So for many people in our society, people don't believe there's any God at all.
Yeah.
There's only the material world. There's no divine being. And so the fact that the Christians believe that there is one God is quite dramatic and maybe a bit weird.
Yeah.
And also that there's not more than one God. So some spiritual people will believe that there are many gods out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we seek to please the gods, or make offerings to the gods.
Yeah.
And no, the biblical Christian faith says, no, there's not multiple gods out there. There's only one true God.
Yeah.
People may worship other things as gods.
Yeah.
Papa recognizes that. But in terms of how many divine beings are actually there's only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, of course, this one God is three.
Yeah.
Three persons is how we've defined the Trinity. That's really unique in the Christian faith, or for the Christian faith, because no other God is like this. So the God of Islam, or even the God of Judaism, just doesn't quite define God like this. They're just kind of the one singularity, divine being. But for Christianity, as we read the Bible, we see that within the one God, there's a relationship between three persons. Now, when we say persons, we don't mean men or women.
Yeah.
So they're not human, although one does become human.
Yeah.
But they're not three people like us, but three persons, three personal identities that make up the one God.
Yeah. And I think, you know, last week we were talking about how in a lot of doctrines there's kind of two seemingly opposing things that you kind of have to hold together to understand this doctrine. Last week, predestination was our free will and God's control over all things. This week is God being one, God being three. These are kind of our two opposing things that we have to try and work out how to put them together.
Yeah, that's right. So firstly, let's get into what the truths are revolving around the Trinity.
Yeah, let's do that. So I think to do that, we have to go to the Bible, I guess. That's where we'll find those things out, right?
That's right. Well, the first thing to say is that the three members of the Trinity are all God. They're all divine in who they are. So it's not like there's one God and then two helpers.
Yeah. Which I think is often how we functionally think about it. Like, I think that helps us to make sense. We're like, God's in charge and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are kind of like supports for God being in charge.
Yeah. But no, like it's fairly straightforward that God the Father is God, but Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit is God. So for example, with Jesus being God, there's plenty of ways to demonstrate the divinity of Jesus.
Yeah.
From his, the fact that he's the one who brings salvation.
Yeah.
Through to obviously the miracles and things that he does. That's not final proof.
Yeah.
And also the declaration of God, the Father of Jesus being his son.
Yeah.
You are my son. Yeah. This is, here is my son. Listen to him.
Yeah.
Shows that, that Jesus is divine.
Yeah.
Part of the Godhead.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it can be a bit murky thinking about it, looking in all the Old Testament passages, like there's not necessarily this clear understanding, but once Jesus comes, you really see that the clarity of the Trinity and how the Trinity works together as part of God. And so I think John is really the big one to look at in terms of the Gospels, understanding the Trinity. And you kind of see quite clearly how they work as a whole and what their relationship looks like. Well, clearly in a confusing way, because it's a confusing doctrine, but it's where you get the clearest picture of the three persons of God and how they work as a whole. And so, you know, John really has this emphasis on the closeness of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Like, you really see how they work. Jesus says that he doesn't say anything except what's come from the Father. But it also talks about how the Father has given him all authority. And so you really see that there is that closeness between God the Father and God the Son, that they are unified in their work and unified in how they relate.
And that's a big point. If they truly are the one God, then their work will be, they'll do the same work. They may have different roles to play within that work, but all three members of the Trinity will be involved in all aspects of God's doing. So in creation, God is the source, and God made all things through the Word, through Jesus, with the Spirit being the life giver, breathing life into the world, into the beings of the world. And same with salvation.
Yeah.
God the Father sends the Son to bring salvation, which is made real in us by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so if they need to all be divine to continue or to be part of God's work.
Yeah.
And if they're all part of God's work, then they are divine as well.
But so the flip side then, they obviously all work together and their work is unified. How can we tell that they are then separate persons? Like, how do we know that they're not just God comes to earth as Jesus and then he leaves and sends the helper? Like, how do we know that actually they have a separate personhood?
Yeah, well, Jesus distinguishes himself from the Father. So he's very clear that it's not the same. He's not the same. Jesus is God's representative. And an exact representation of God the Father, but not the Father himself. So you can see God clearly through Jesus, but they are still separate people, separate persons.
And I think you see that most clearly in Jesus's baptism, where you can kind of see the three personhoods of God there, where Jesus is physically present there being baptized. God pronounces from heaven, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased," and sends the Spirit in the form of, you see the Spirit like a dove. And so that's a kind of a moment where you see actually all three of the persons of God are in that moment together, working together, rather than being melded into kind of one person.
That's right. So we need to remember that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. And of course, going the other way around as well.
Yeah.
So I remember it being described like this. There's of course, there's lots of analogies for the Trinity.
And I've not heard a good one yet. They're so if all, you've got a good all one.
No, I've just got lots of anti-analogies.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's, you can define it by it's what it's not most helpfully.
So there's the Eddie Murphy analogy.
I haven't heard this one.
So is it, I can't remember the film, is it Dr. Dolittle, where Eddie Murphy plays lots of different characters? So the same actor, but playing lots of different characters.
Yeah.
So some people think God is, okay, in some time, like in the Old Testament, God appeared to humans as Father.
Yeah.
But then later on, God appeared as Jesus. And so kind of morphed into a new being. And then God comes to us as the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So it's God kind of changing.
Yeah.
Changing form kind of thing.
Yeah. The fancy term is modalism, right?
Correct. Yes. And so yeah, God changing modes.
Yeah.
That's not what's said of the Trinity.
Yeah.
All three are distinct and all three are eternally present.
Yeah. Yeah. The other way is the water analogy of like water, ice and steam. Mm-hmm. It can't be all three at once. And so it doesn't really work as an analogy for God because it's got to be one or the other at one given time.
Whereas correct.
Actually we have all persons at once existing at the same time.
That's right. Yes. So you to describe it by analogy just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Let's
you go. Can go, here's a bad analogy, here's a bad analogy, here's a bad analogy. In that blank space in the middle, this is what the Trinity looks like.
And it's something as simple as this. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father's not the Son, nor the Son the Father. The Son's not the Spirit, nor the Spirit the Son.
Yeah.
And the Spirit is not the Father, nor the Father is not the Spirit.
Yeah. There's a great diagram that demonstrates it somewhere.
Lots of arrows and
lots of little triangle and...
Yeah. But together they make up the one God.
Yeah.
Which is really important because when we understand ourselves, human beings, in creating the image of God, part of that is being made in relationship to others. So the fact that God is... in his very essence, a relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit, that gives honor to the way we are made in terms of being relational beings.
Mm.
We are like God in that we are made for relationship.
Yeah. And I think this is why I find the Trinity such a beautiful doctrine. Mm-hmm. Like it just is really beautiful in once you come to understand it and how it works. I just think that's incredible, the idea that our God is in kind of, in essence, a relationship between the three persons of God, that they have always existed together and always existed in this relationship of mutual love and support. You see that in John as well, how the Son loves the Father and the Father loves the Son and all those things. Like there's this beautiful, mutual, perfect relationship between the Trinity that has been not from all eternity. And I think that's beautiful. Like our God is in essence a relational God, which I think is what you get in kind of when you look at 1 John, where he says God is love, like in the essence of God's nature is love because he is relatable.
Yeah. It's not just that God loves, but he is love because in himself is a three-way relationship of love. So for example, in John 5:20, it says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. But then what does that love look like? Well, John 8:29 says, Jesus says, the one who sent me, the Father, is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.
Mm.
So it's a relationship of sacrificial service between the three members of the Trinity. Jesus does the Father's will to the glory of the Father, as does the Spirit, all to the glory of the Father.
Yeah.
And so there's service and honor and glory wrapped up in that relationship.
Which is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
Which I think becomes even more mind-blowing. And I think maybe we looked a little bit at this when we were looking at love in our first season, that actually we as God's children get invited into the unity of the core thing that makes up God, this relationship. Like we get to be a part of that. Like we are now adopted sons alongside Jesus with that. And that's an incredible truth that kind of outworks from the Trinity. Understanding the Trinity lets you understand how mind-blowing it is that God actually would invite us into this perfect relationship.
Because if God is personal, so he's not just a force or some spirit ether thing.
Yeah.
But actually he's personal. He's able to relate and as actually has created us to relate to him as he relates within himself.
Yeah.
Then we have the ability to be invited into that relationship because God is God is relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I guess the final thing that's important to hold here in the Trinity is it helps us particularly see Jesus clearly. Mm. And now we'll look at Jesus more closely next week.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Forward to that.
Yeah. But if Jesus must be God,
mm.
If Jesus isn't part of the Godhead, part of yeah. the Trinity, then he's not worthy of our worship,
mm.
or he's a rival God. He's a second God somewhere. Or he's just a man and, you know, yeah. that's a, and, you know,
and he can't bring us forgiveness by his sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it's important that we see Jesus as divine
mm.
so that we can truly worship him and receive salvation through him.
Yeah.
Similarly with the Spirit. We want to make sure that we hold the Spirit as divine, not as just some force that comes out yeah. of God, but its own person who enlightens.
His own person?
You said it. Oh, I said it. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, the Holy Spirit.
Spirit is a person too.
So it's a he, not an it. Yeah. My apologies. I've got no idea what I'm saying. So we need to treat him as divine
mm.
because he is the one who enlightens our hearts to be able to receive, to receive the revelation of God and receive the grace of God. Mm. And he's divine. He's the divine power working in us mm. to transform us to be more like Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. We get that person of God dwelling within us, mm. which is also a crazy mind blowing thing. There's a lot of mind blowing things when we look into the Trinity, a lot of things you kind of go, wait, is that actually real? Like invited into Trinity, the Spirit dwells within us. Like it's a really cool, there's so many cool truths that we get from this.
And it should leave us in awe of God because, you know, I'm one person with one mm. personality.
Yeah.
But God is much more complex than mm. me. And we often think, oh, God's just a better version of me. But yeah. no, God's much more than that. He's much deeper and richer in himself. And so to get a glimpse of what he's like mm. through the teaching on the Trinity should just leave us in awe of this amazing being who works in relation to himself.
Mm. Yeah, so we really scratched the surface in looking at the Trinity, but there's plenty of more things out there. I mean, reading John is a great thing to do if you want to think more deeply about the Trinity and how the Trinity works.
That's right. Just as you read the Bible, just think, oh, okay, how are the Father, Son, and Spirit relating here?
Mm.
Who does the work of what? And marvel at how deep a relationship God is.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for blank space. And Simon, you're off to a flying start here.
I know. You're the one with the blank space at the moment, Anton.
I am on zero. Simon is on one after week one.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. What's our category today?
Our category is people.
Okay, people of the Bible. Go for it.
So, Anton, first question for you. Which of Joseph's brothers wanted to spare his life?
Oh, it's the eldest. Reuben's either first or second. So, Reuben.
You are correct.
Yes. Oh, glad I didn't change my thought. Great. I'm on the board.
Are we doing two back-to-back?
Let's do two back-to-back. That's how you like it.
Who breastfed Isaac?
Was it his mum? Who would be Sarah? Or was it someone? Did he have a wet nurse? Let's just go with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a random question.
Rather than who's the mother of Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There you are.
Time for a comeback. All right. Which two prophets journeyed from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the other side of the Jordan?
Okay, you're going to need to read that question again. Okay. I got lost.
Fair enough. Which two prophets journeyed from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the other side of the Jordan?
Which two prophets? I hate it when there's multiple which two or... Look, I don't know. I don't think I'll get this right. I don't have a confident answer. So, Isaiah and Jeremiah.
You're thinking of author prophet, which is fair enough. Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
All right.
I always forget Elijah was a prophet. I know he was, but...
To whom was Joseph sold in Egypt?
Potiphar.
Hey.
Yay.
Well done. Keeping up your 50% record.
Good thing I know Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat musical.
So glad you admitted that on the podcast. All right. Well, now it's tight.
Yeah, we are tying.
Tying.
Which is possibly the first time since season one when we had the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I love the wild time. Okay, two all.
Yeah. It's a pity it wasn't three each and then be like the Trinity episode. We got 3 points each.
We got 3 points together, though.
Yeah, true. That's how the Trinity works. All three together.
All right. That is episode two wrapped up for season three. What's coming up next, Simon?
Up next, we are looking at, and we hinted at this, Jesus, God and man. So we've kind of looked at the Trinity as a whole, but now we'll narrow in on Jesus. There's lots of interesting things, lots of interesting heresies, all sorts of things to learn about Jesus. And
we need a heresy bell.
Yeah, we could go and find a bell.
Yeah.
It's really, really important. Like your doctrine of Jesus has a big impact on everything. So I'm keen to get stuck into it.
Yeah. Join us next week. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And join us for church. We're back in person. Go to the Christchurch St. Ives website to register.
Yeah.
See you then.
See ya.